Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
It's pop in the air. Right field, who's got it? Coming on, Hamilton. Ball game, and the Space Cowboys are undeniable.
You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Garrett Green's final call, the Sugar Land Space Cowboys winning the national championship in AAA and being joined by the Space Cowboy manager now, Mickey Storey. Congratulations on winning the title, Coach. What was different about this year's team than the others you've had in recent memory?
A lot of things. I mean, I think you know, you leave spring training every year and you get a roster, you write your first lineup, and you know the expectations are always high. But the continuity, the cohesiveness, the group just seemed to be so engaged, you know, on a daily basis. You know, enjoyed each other's time. You know, cherished, you know, wins. You know, took offense to, you know, criticism. You know, played with a chip on their shoulder, had something to prove. You know, all those things you hear about, you know, teams that they end up having special seasons. This team seemed to have it, and we kind of noticed it pretty early on.
Mickey, I'm curious from your standpoint, the challenges and the extra challenges when you've got a team like the Astros so close and they're bringing guys up with injuries and everything so frequently. I mean, you were challenged all the way to the end in terms of bringing up guys to the major league team right before you went to Vegas and who your pitchers would be and how that extra added kind of challenge for a manager in that position is.
Yeah, it's definitely a challenge because, I mean, the ultimate goal and the objective is to feed the major league team the best we got. You know, our job is to get them prepared and have them ready to contribute at the big league level. And at times, that means we lose our best guys. So the season kind of goes through those moments where you may have all your guys at one time and you may have none of those guys at a point. And down the stretch, it seemed like we were losing guys at a rapid rate. But we got, you know, we had guys from Double A come in and fill in, and we had some guys who were kind of staples there in Sugar Land all year really step up, you know. And then at the end, we made some switches. We lost Gusto, but we gained Shea Whitcomb. We lost to Zenzo, but, you know, got big outings out of you know, other guys. It was just your quintessential guys stepping up at the right times that made this team, you know, be undisputed and be undeniable, you know, winning the most games and then running through the playoffs and ultimately winning the championship. So many guys had a hand in it. It was very, very much a full team effort.
Mickey Storey, manager of the Sugar Land Space Cowboys, national champions of AAA. You mentioned take offense to criticism, and the criticism we kind of heard some of the players take offense to were minor league rankings and these prospect lists and the MLB pipeline and all of that. Having the perspective of being a minor league manager, what do you have to say about prospect rankings? And what is it about the Astros that, you know, they don't always have guys on prospect rankings, but you look at a Yiner, a Jeremy Pena, a Framber Valdez, they're always able to develop their own even if they weren't highly touted.
Yeah, it's prospect rankings are one of those things that, you know, it's part of the game, it's part of the business, but it doesn't define the player at all. It kind of just puts it out there that this is what we got, and a great deal of prospect status has everything to do with, you know, what round you were drafted in, what your signing bonus was, what scouts in Baseball America and all the, you know, pretty much what they think you could be instead of what you actually are. And at any given moment, you can put yourself on the map. And the Astros seem to have a great deal of those players throughout my tenure here that, you know, play above their status and become performers And really, at the end of the day, you just want performers. You don't need prospects. You know, if you want to wow baseball rankings, then with prospects, that's one thing. But if you want guys to perform and get results, that's a whole different thing. And they don't always go hand in hand. You know, the Astros have had a great player development system for some time now, and we've seemed to get the best out of guys that aren't overly, you know, ranked high in those prospect rankings. So it's kind of a testament to, you know, player development or scouting, you know, finding these diamonds in the rough, player development, you know, maybe implementing things that weren't there when we got them, and then ultimately the player being able to buy into what we were trying to accomplish. And like I said, play with a purpose and prove people wrong. We've had a number of players that weren't prospects get to the big leagues and be very impactful players.
I was going to say, how gratifying is that for you when you see it, and also kind of the pit it leaves in your stomach with a trade like for Kikuchi, when you know, well, you know, Joey's been up and he's been up and down, and you had Will Wagner, and you had, you know, Bloss, all these guys that were contributing to your squad, then they were up and down, but you kind of knew they were going to be around, and then all of a sudden in one fall swoop, there are three of some of your main cogs that go away. But then you see them actually progress and flourish once they get to the big league level, even if it isn't within the organization.
Yeah, and honestly, those are the players that it's extra special to see, because when you have, you know, players like Kyle Tucker and Yordan Alvarez, who I had in the minor leagues, you know what's going to happen there. Like, you know that they're going to be major league players at the bare minimum. And then the ceiling is all-stars, MVPs, Hall of Fame. Like, the sky's the limit. But when you have players that script's not written for, but you see something in them, you know, like a Will Wagner or a Lopez Fido or a Zach DiCenzo, where they're, you know, middle of the draft guys or even back into the draft guys, and then you see the day in, day out, you know the makeup of the player, and then you see the production, you know that as this is going to be a major league player. Now, to see it come and go, that's part of it, you know, but to see Will Wagner and Lopez, you know, get traded for a piece like Kikuchi, yeah, it hurts because you're putting in work with those guys and you know what they're capable of. But that's sometimes that's what's best for the player and what's best for your organization. And that's when those trades take place. You know, you make a relationship with those players, and all you want them to do is maximize their careers. And that's, you know, they're definitely on pace on doing that. But, you know, it's one of those love-hate things. You, like I said, you put in a lot of time with the guys, and, you know, you build a relationship, and you want it to be with us. And ultimately, you know, we're in this game to help players get better and reach their goals. So it's whether that's with us or with another team, you know, it's one and the same. It's great to see, you know.
Mickey Story joining us on the HRMP guest line, champions with the Sugar Land Space Cowboys in AAA this past season. You hear and see the revolving door of minor league coaches, and maybe the Astros are going through this a little bit right now. You get a general manager that might want to do things a little bit differently. What are the challenges of that for these minor league coaches, and then for the decision makers at the big league level, whenever you have this revolving door and this turnover when it comes to minor league coaches in the organization?
Yeah, it's one of those things that you got to deal with when you are a perennial organization. We've, you know, seven ALCSs. You know, this is the first year we've come up a little short in the playoffs, but this is still a team that's been in the playoffs, what, nine years. And when you have that much success, everybody wants the secret sauce. So with that, coaches are coming and going. You know, other teams are trying to pluck them while they're trying to do that. Other coaches, you know, have ambition to, you know, potentially see what they could do elsewhere. It's tough, you know, it's tough. But you don't, when you have something so good for so long and then you have some change, the dynamic could possibly be a little bit different. And coaches come and go. It's just like players. It's not a whole lot different in the sense where, you know, coaches have career aspirations also. They want to get to the big leagues. They want coordinator roles. Maybe they want front office roles. Maybe they want to change the scenery, you know, and you know, it when the contract stuff comes up, you know, it's something I'm not too familiar with because I've always been, you know, taken care of for the most part. And then, you know, some other, you know, on the other side for the front office, It's who they want to retain, who they see as a good fit. Like, that's completely their call. So it's hard to say, but it's definitely it's tough because you want to continue to build with what we have. But at the same time, you know, over this good run, we've lost a ton of coaches. So it's a challenge for sure.
Mickey, at the end of the year, you know, you just said you had Tuck and you had Yordan, and now you're looking at this squad and you're looking at guys that kind of catch your eye. Can you tell us a little bit about a guy that we've heard really climbing the system quite quickly in Matthews and the fact that he can play multiple infield positions and that he was a high draft pick? But what do you see in that kid?
Yeah, so obviously, I mean, I hadn't seen him much. So I saw him in spring training. He came in and filled in a couple big league games. I got to spend a little time with him there, but obviously didn't get to see him play a ton. So, you know, he had a good run, started your high A, played well in double A. I mean, and like we spoke of, there were times where we were losing players at a pretty rapid pace to the big league team. We lost Shea Whitcomb, we lost Leon, we lost DeZenzo. And I was kind of wondering, man, is there a chance that we get Bryce Matthews up here just because it's getting thin, and I know he's having a pretty good year. So when we got a chance to get him, I wanted him to just play. You know, I didn't want to try to, you know, fix things and what I heard and what he needs. I wanted to just see him play. And what I found was that Bryce is a guy that he's a toolsy player. He's got some real raw ability. He's young in his career, but he likes to play the game. Like, he has a real passion to play the game, and he's going to be a really, really solid player. He just needs to figure out pro baseball. It happens fast. You know what I mean? Like, this guy got drafted last year. Before you know it, he's in the Triple-A playoffs, you know, playing every day. He's playing shortstop. He's playing third base. You know, he's in big situations with a team that was as close to playing, you know, major league caliber playoff baseball as any team I've been around in the minor league. Like, it was really, really a big deal for that club, and he fit right in. Like, he didn't miss a beat, which was a great experience. So I love what's ahead for Bryce. The makeup's really strong. He's a ball player. He's gonna continue to work. You know, I think winter ball was in the plans for him this offseason, to kind of continue to fine-tune some things, but he's a really, really nice young man. He's a good-looking player. He's one that we're excited about.
Can he handle the hot corner at the big league level, Skip?
Yeah, I think he can. That's kind of where he ended up settling in with us down the stretch, mostly because of the way it shaped out for us and lineup construction on my end. It wasn't necessarily by any other than that was the way it worked best. But I think the third base looks good on him. I think the shortstop he'll continue to play. Third base, sure. I mean, it's definitely going to be a left side of the infield with a potential to play second base maybe if need be, however it fits with us. Obviously, second base isn't as much of a fit because of the Hall of Famer we have. Mm-hmm. But if he needs to play third base, shortstop, you know, the kid's an athlete. He's utility. I know we've tried to make, you know, guys well-rounded. I'm sure he could put on an outfield glove and play out there if need be. The one thing is, Bryce is a heck of a ball player, so he's going to find a way to get on the field.
We really appreciate the conversation. We'll keep that lineup construction conversation to a different time. But I enjoyed the chat. Thank you for the insight, and congratulations again on winning that national championship.
I appreciate it, guys.
Mickey Story, the manager of the Sugar Land Space Cowboys, AAA affiliate, of course, of the Houston Astros, national champions of AAA, and you can catch the Space Cowboys once they get back to playing some baseball on ESPN 92.5.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds, or Skims. Sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.